Scanning. Identity authorized. Welcome to the Secret Superhero Club Podcast Network.
Hear you lead today and enter the world of Hilt Radio. We'll take you on an epic journey through the magic of all things Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars, from the movies to the box and everything in between. It's time to take you to Disney and beyond with your hosts, Brittany and Liam DeCosimo.
And let me too.
Welcome back to another episode of Hilt Radio. It's Here You Leave Today and Enter a World of Yesterday, Tomorrow, and Fantasy, as we cover all things from the House of Mouse, the House of Ideas, and a galaxy far, far away. But to take you on this adventure is myself, your host, Liam.
I'm Brittany.
And by goodness, we have an action-packed show for you guys. So, BMO, give us the rundown. What's happening in the magical world of Disney?
All right, that Aladdin trailer. Amazing. We're going to talk about it. And we also have to talk about Alan Tudyk, which also pertains to that Aladdin trailer. And, I don't know, 20,000 Leagues prequel Captain Nemo is back in development. What the French?
Oh my goodness, I'm excited for that. Now Marvel, Captain Marvel herself, is clear $760 million at the worldwide box office. The Avengers Endgame trailer dropped and gave us a look at the quantum suits. And James Gunn has been reinstated as the director for Guardians Volume 3. Yay! If I had like an applause sound effect, I would play it right here.
It would be the genie going applause.
Applause. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, pretty much.
And in the Star Wars realm, Star Wars Dark Forces is getting an unofficial remake.
Galaxy's Edge will have its own panel at Celebration.
And Kylo Ren theories for episode 9.
Very, very cool. So we'll have all of this and more on this episode of Hilt Radio. But before we get into that, we'll talk a little bit about our adventures for the week. So T1, if you don't mind, take us on in.
Prepare for adventures in fandom.
So I guess I will say a happy belated St. Patrick's Day, because as we are recording this, we are both rocking our Mickey and Minnie St. Patrick's Day shirts, which is basically just them with a little bit of green, because, you know, that's how...
And some shamrocks.
That's how Target
Mickey,
does it.
Mickey has a cool hat.
Yeah, a top hat with a buckle, you know, belt buckle.
You know that lovely leprechaun hat you're used to seeing.
Yeah, so hopefully you guys had a magical and safe St. Patrick's Day. For us,
People drink on St. Patrick's
Day.
I forget
that's
a thing.
Yes.
That's like a big
thing.
That
is a large part of why people like to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Not so much here, but in this house here.
I was like, oh no, that's very American thing.
Oh, that is very
do.
Much a Fresno thing too, but at least here,
for show.
From Fresno, Ace, and I'm super drunk. So, but no, I was going to say, like, this week kind of is the lead up to, I kind of feel like most of these holidays have been catching us off guard. I know Halloween caught us off guard. Thanksgiving caught us off guard. Christmas wasn't so bad because I had, like, the week off from work, so we had more time to prepare. But for this week, I mean, we got caught up framing stuff for Tomorrowland because we still had, like, a boatload of posters and stuff.
That have just been put away.
Yeah.
Still. But I feel like we put a dent in them recently, but yet there was still a ton of them. Because frames are expensive, man. They are not cheap. You have to wait until they go on sale. I mean, unless you can just spend that kind of money, lucky you. But for us, we have to wait until Michaels is like, hey, guess what? 50% off all the frames, plus an extra 20% off, plus you get this discount, plus take this puppy, it's free. And we're like, cool, we're coming in.
All the things, why not? But but it was nice because we were able to knock out a bunch of the pieces of art that we really want to get up. You had gotten the Neverland print from the Audisons as a birthday gift. So we were really big on trying to get that one framed and up on the wall as soon as possible.
Gorgeous.
We had some pictures we've been holding on to for a while that we just hadn't gotten frames, or we needed like odd sized frames to be able to get them. So we're going to be redoing the wall that we look at that are above the computer monitors. The wall that's behind us, which you guys will eventually see when we actually start doing videos, that one mostly is filled. We just need to do whatever is going to be closer to behind the door. And then I think we'll be
good. I feel
good.
Like that's the wall that most people have seen in pictures is the wall that is behind us. So you kind of know what we're talking about. We're not touching that one. That one's staying the same because I love the way it came out.
Yeah.
But the one that we're looking at as we record is... definitely in need of some love.
Yes. Could undergo a few renovations, if you will.
But that'll be happening very soon because we got the frames now. So I'm pretty pumped for that. Our wallets are not.
No.
But...
frames are expensive.
What else have we been doing?
So recently we've been, I don't know if it's been me or you or Remy, but we've been watching a lot of DuckTales.
Ooh.
I guess XD has just been really kind of plugging those ones later at night.
Oh, yeah.
And I was really impressed with that it actually has a storyline. I kind of thought it was going to be a lot of like one-off mm-hmm. stupid episodes, but it actually has like an underlying story, and it's actually pretty interesting. Like this whole Magica.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that with the with like her daughter or whatever she's supposed to be that's like infiltrated the
I don't think it's her daughter. I don't know. I haven't really paid close attention to them. I've watched them and yeah. I've caught like the story, the plot, but I've watched them out of order. So
right, yeah.
So I'm like, oh wait, oh that makes sense now, but then we have to go back five more episodes and like really figure out the story because there is. It's a pretty deep story. And now I think we're to the point to where we're learning about the triplets' mom.
Yeah.
And there's a huge like storyline there. I'm like, what? Like this is so epic. It's serious. It's kind of sad when the ducks start finding out that, hey, our mom was an amazing hero and decided, well, just an amazing adventurer and decided yeah. that she wanted to continue to go on adventures and died on one of the adventures or whatever the heck happened to her.
Right.
So they don't know what happened to her because they were an egg.
They were getting sat on by Uncle Donald.
Yeah, Donald, such a good guy.
I know, and it's so funny because like, I know they always call him Uncle Donald, but for some reason I always just assumed they were like his kids.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's like
I always knew he was Uncle Donald just because of the right. really old TV shows.
Yeah, yeah. But there was part of me too yeah. that was like, but is he like a family friend and they just call him Uncle because he's like close right. to the family, or is he like biologically nope. the uncle?
Legit.
Because then there's Uncle Scrooge,
his
which
sister.
Are like Donald is not Scrooge's brother, like, because Donald is Scrooge's nephew.
Great uncle.
So it's great uncle Scrooge.
But
yeah.
you don't call your great uncles, hey, great uncle, how you feeling? Hey, I hope I made you feel older.
I better be referred to as great uncle. I'm not just an uncle, I'm a great uncle.
So Josiah needs to call you great yeah. uncle Liam. Yeah.
Get it together, kid.
Because I'm amazing.
I'm so amazing. So amazing. So you guys are also watching DuckTales. It's actually, it's really fun show. And
it's good.
I thought it has taken the essence of the original and really expanded on it in a way that's a lot of fun.
And I remember when it was originally coming out and so many people were upset that the Huey, Dewey, and Louie were talking differently, that they didn't have that duck-esque, yeah, like Donald kind of voice. Like they yeah. usually do that kiddish voice that they have. With this storyline, this works. It fits them. Yeah. I feel like it makes way more sense that they went the direction that they did.
No, 100%. Because I feel like it would have been... Like, why would Scrooge be the only one that doesn't talk that way, right? I always felt like that was very indicative to Donald.
The one scene where she calls him Irish or what?
Yeah, just like, what part of Ireland are you from? And he's like fuming. You have such an interesting accent. What part of Ireland are you
from? I'm like,
from?
Oh, that Arr. Is so just, you can relate.
I laughed so much. It was such good.
But
such
in
good.
Opposite.
Yeah, yeah, but, yeah, exactly. I get it from the opposite end, so. Perfect. We also just popped in Infinity War because, you know, if you're having a very happy St. Patrick's Day, which we had all of our green foods and, you know, mm-hmm. Irish-infused things this morning, and then for dinner we had Disneyland gumbo.
Because why not?
Which is very Irish.
We invited the family over and we're like, hey, we're making gumbo. Come yeah. join us.
We did gumbo, which it had green vegetables in it, like yeah. okra and green peppers.
They don't ever say no.
And then we watched Infinity War because why can you not? And then when it was done, Remy goes, can we watch something that's not sad?
Can we watch a happy movie now? Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, we're all this. It gets you every time.
Yeah.
It never fails. Remy's part is Groot every time. Like, I'm sad because Groot disappeared.
Yeah.
He's my favorite.
Well, he was weird. He's like asking why. Like, why did they all disappear?
He's
and,
at
like,
that
you're
point.
Trying to explain this to him, and you're like, I don't know if you really get this.
Yeah.
The higher concept of death is essentially yeah. in your wheelhouse. I don't know. So those are the odd conversations you never fully expect to have with your kid at four, but yeah. thank you, Marvel, for forcing those conversations.
Good job, Marvel.
No, it's good because this is a way for him to kind of understand it to some degree. And I mean, there's honestly, it's a whole lot more I'd like to talk about Infinity War as it pertains to Endgame, but we'll get into that as we get to the Marvel section. The last little bit of stuff that I want to talk about is I actually I know this is kind of self-serving, but I finally beat the Spider-Man PlayStation 4 game.
Rein it in there, Liam.
Yeah.
Stop bragging.
But what was really kind of cool about it is, like, as I got, and I'm not going to spoil anything for anybody that's either still on the game other than just a, ha-ha, I got it, but beat it before you did. but the plot, like, the storyline of this game, like, obviously you have 40 hours to essentially tell this story, but I feel like it would have made an amazing movie, and it would have been one that was, like, expected but unexpected. So I'm really hoping that with, you know, the Sony's Spider-Man universe and whatnot, that they do get the opportunity to tell a similar story in some regard. I thought the characters were a lot of fun. I thought the storyline was phenomenal. I thought it hit all the right keystrokes. It gave us a great setup for a sequel, as well as some additional characters. And then, of course, if you guys haven't bought the downloadable content already, it's actually on deal now, I think until like maybe the 28th or the 29th of this month, that instead of you can get all three of the episodes, and you can get it instead of $10 each or $24.99 for all three of them, it's actually like $16.74
cool
right now. So if you haven't bought the downloadable content, I suggest you do it now because it is on deal. Excellent. Well, that's all the new
tubular.
All the adventures I had.
Awesome. I have not beaten Spider-Man.
Yeah, I don't think you've played it since the very
since
beginning.
We first got it, but it's kind of the same with Kingdom Hearts. I played it and then I stopped because I need to get things done around the house. So
that's why I wake up early and get it done while you and the babe are asleep.
Yeah, and that's why I sleep in, because that is called my me time.
Yeah, and that's
those extra hours are my me time of sleep.
You spend it sleeping, I spend it playing video games.
Who's more productive?
Obviously me. I just beat Spider-Man.
Obviously me. I'm gaining more energy for the rest of the day.
Oh, and it very much shows.
I get a lot done. Hey, yard work did not do itself this weekend, okay?
No, that was a team effort. That was.
Oh, yeah, you were involved.
That was Team DeCosmo on that one. Because let's be honest, you can't lift the bags of mulch, so...
Yes, I can. I just don't like to.
Oh, yeah, that sleep energy is really giving you that extra boost.
Hey, it gives me energy. It doesn't give me muscle.
Right.
That's kind of exactly how sleep works.
But wouldn't it be the energy to do the exercise to build the muscle so you could do those things?
I didn't say I exercise.
Yes.
Who does that?
Neither one of us does.
Do any of our listeners exercise? Raise your hand.
Hey, I'm sure there's people that
like
to
be fit. All of
you
who raised your hand, I am so freaking proud of you. Like, that's like not sarcasm at all. You have willpower that I don't.
Except you just clapped at him like, I am so proud of you.
No, I didn't do that. I legit clapped. I golf clapped, kind of.
Well, nicely done.
Super proud.
Nicely done. Very proud of all of you.
Now go have a cheat day. All right, let's move it along.
Perfect. Into the news we go.
Scanning. Here's what's going on around the galaxy.
And let's talk about that Aladdin trailer.
Whoop, whoop.
Okay. So if you missed it, pause the show right now. Go watch it.
Yeah.
You have homework. It's amazing. I don't think it broke any records.
No,
because
I don't think so.
I don't think any of those popped up. But it wasn't the first, I guess, technically. Right? Or was this the first official trailer? Because there was teasers.
Yeah, there were teasers.
There was no talking or anything.
Yeah, I think this was the first official one because we actually got dialogue. We got sneak peek of the song.
Dialogue other than what we've already heard from the animated movie.
Right, exactly.
Back in the
90s.
Yes, we got to hear them sing. We got to see the genie in both forms. So not just blue, but Will Smith as, I guess, human form genie. I don't know. Genie form genie, because I guess a genie could just look like a regular person, right? And I want to say that when the teaser was released and they finally showed us Will Smith, I feel like they rushed that because they were getting so much of the, why haven't we seen the genie? Blah, 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 blah. Why isn't he blue? What haven't we seen? And people were so angry. And then Disney or Guy Ritchie or whatever, they just decided to, hey, let's make him blue really quick. And I don't think they should have done that because they did the CGI just did not look great. It was kind of back to the Beauty and the Beast trailers where the Beast was not finished and he did not look great.
It looked quite awkward.
So many people had lots of negative things to say about Genie. And with this trailer, I think they completely fixed all of that. Genie looked awesome. Will Smith, I think is making this character his own. We can hear in the little bit of the song that we get for, what is it? You got a, why do I always want to say that?
We get a little bit of Friend Like Me.
What's it called?
Yeah, Friend Like
Me. I always want to say a friend in me because of freaking Toy Story.
Yeah, Friend Like Me. And then we get a little bit of a whole new world when they're popping off.
But with the
genie,
it's Will Smith's version of
it.
So it's fun.
Yeah, it's more hip-hop infused.
I'm okay with it. I'm not angry that it's not Robin Williams' version. And I think there are going to be some fans who are like, but it's not Robin Williams. Well, of course, it never will be. Nobody out there will ever be Robin Williams, guys. It's not going to happen. So with that, I'm excited to see Will Smith as the genie fully, because I'm pleasantly surprised with this trailer.
Well, because I like Will Smith as a choice because it does give a different flavor to the role.
Yes.
Because I think initially I was thinking like, oh, what comedian can you cast that will bring a very Robin Williams feel to it? And then as time went on, you're kind of like, but I don't want that. I already got Robin Williams. I don't need an imitator. I want somebody that is, you know, can never be duplicated.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want something different. Somebody that's going to bring something slightly updated to the role. And I think that Will Smith does that. I mean, will I like this version of Friend Like Me better than the Robin Williams version? Heck no. That's never going to happen.
But that's probably the same for A Whole New World.
Yeah, but will I still like this? Yeah, I'm sure that I will. You know, honestly, watching that trailer had me so pumped for this movie. Like, I was already excited for it because we love Aladdin.
Right.
But seeing this trailer definitely helped add to the hype because it looks like we are going to get a lot of the beats that we would expect for this movie. Mm-hmm. But then also give us, you know, slight changes here or there that will make more sense from a live action theatrical point of view versus an animated movie.
Right.
And I don't know where Aladdin landed with the trailers, but it did not crack the top 20 for most views. Viewed trailers in the first 24 hours.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those things where we know these movies aren't going to be as big as the Avengers, the Star Wars. Like, they're still huge, but they're not going to be that big in numbers. But that's just because those are chaos. Like, the numbers that those bring in are just nuts. So We always talk about numbers. We'll talk about it with Captain Marvel and like what she's bringing in, but how it's like they stack up to other movies, and it's just like it's still so much money,
right?
And so many views that they get. But moving on to A Whole New World, what did you think of the way that sounded?
I thought it sounded good. It honestly sounded almost spot on from what we heard in.
Would it be Leah Salonga?
Yeah, Leah Salonga, and what's his name?
I always forget his name. It's like a.
It's like Bert or Brad or something like that. I'll look it up. So yeah, I mean, like you look at that and you go, or like you not look it, but you listen to that and you go, oh wow, no, this sounds familiar. This sounds like what I would be used to hearing.
Mm-hmm. We got to see them on the carpet, well, on carpet because it is a thing. A human, right. It's an inanimate. No, not inanimate. An animated object. I don't know. But yeah, I think Naomi Scott, however you pronounce her name. She sounds lovely. That was where I was worried. I knew Will Smith wasn't going to sound like Robin Williams. I knew he was going to bring his own flavor.
Brad Kane.
You were Brad Kane? Really?
Yeah, that's Brad the Kane. Name? Yep.
Huh. Okay. So I knew that with Will Smith, but going with Naomi Scott, I've never heard any of her music. I've never listened to it. I still haven't tried to go back and listen to it. I don't really want to. I kind of only want to hear her as Jasmine so I can see her as that first.
Right.
And then go listen to her stuff, because it's kind of like one of those things where you know a pop star. You know what they sound like, but it's kind of one of those when they become a movie star. You're like, yeah, I already know what you sound like.
Right.
You don't sound any different. So, I don't know. I'm excited to hear her in this film. And from the trailer, I think she sounds awesome. And same with, what's his name? Masoud. Mina?
Yeah, Mina Masoud.
Mina Masoud. Masoud. He sounds kind of just like Brad Kane. He was, I think, more spot on than she was to Leah. So,
yeah.
I don't know if they did that on purpose, if that was just, I don't know. He just hit it perfectly.
Yeah, no, it sounded pretty spot on. I mean, and some of that could be the post-production work, you know, on like the effects and whatnot that they put on his voice. I mean, obviously we heard a whole lot of effects on Emma Watson's voice when she was Belle. So there is the potential for that, but at least at the small snippet that we heard in the trailer sounded great.
So. Yeah. In its delivery, it sounds like Aladdin from the animated film. Yeah. So.
And to kind of keep it on... Oh, and Aladdin comes out May 24th.
May 24th, yes.
Nice. And then to keep it in the Aladdin realm, we also had news that Alan Tudyk has been signed on.
Yeah, recently. Because
the voice of Iago.
They hadn't announced who that was because Iago was... they haven't...
Gilbert Gottfried.
Well, yeah, but they, in any of the teasers, we've seen him in them.
But he hasn't spoken. He
hasn't said anything. So everyone's like, who the heck is it going to be? How did we not think it was going to be Alan Tudyk? Like, he's been on everything.
He's been a chicken. He's been a weasel. He's been a Duke of Wesselton.
Mm-hmm.
He has been, oh gosh.
Nosemore.
He's been Nosemore. He was.
King Candy.
King Candy. He, what was it? I was just thinking.
Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars, he was K2SO. Mm-hmm. He was in Deadpool with Matt Damon. They're the two hicks that are hanging out at the pickup truck.
Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6. That's the one I was just thinking of. Big Hero 6, he's Alistair Cray.
Yeah, so ton.
Yeah.
Tons and tons and tons
of
things.
A lot of connection to Disney.
I feel like... Oh, and also Star, right? Star versus the Forces of Evil.
Oh, yeah, of course, Forces of Evil. Yeah, he's freaking...
everybody.
he's the dad. He's the King River. He's the little bird.
Is he King River?
Yeah, he's King River.
I feel like you said that. I'm like, what? He threw me off on that one.
He definitely is. And he's random voices throughout the show.
Because he's was the main bad guy. I don't know if he's still bad, but the bird.
Yeah, no, I know.
What the heck is his name? Oh my gosh. Anyway, we're so bad. We should know these things.
Right.
Anywho, Star Season 4 is on Disney XD right now, if you guys want to watch. And also the Disney Now app, so in case you just want to check it out there. But yeah, so Alan Tudyk, we should have just known. It's a bird. He's amazing.
Hey, hey.
Yeah, he was hey, hey. Why would he not be Iago? So I'm excited to hear him. If that doesn't get you guys pumped, we know you. I think everybody listening loves Alan Tudyk. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't, unless you're one of those people who are like, "Really, he's in everything.
Right?
Stop it." No, you can put him in everything. It's okay.
You're the person who just hates things for the sake of hating them. You must work for Cosmic News. Nice. And the last little bit of Disney news that we have today is the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Initially, there was an announcement a little while ago that there was going to be a prequel titled Captain Nemo, and it was going to talk more about the captain's adventures prior to the events in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and it looks like that's actually back in development, which honestly I'm really excited for because I do enjoy the original, the classic Disney live-action film 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and I would like to see more of Captain Nemo's adventures. I feel like there's a lot of untold story that you could show and develop and either animated or live action and still make it really entertaining.
Why is he so weird?
Why is he so mean?
Yeah, I watched that for the first time this past year because we did, and I can't believe you haven't seen that episode on it with that one.
We did two Disney movies. So we did 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and then we did Swiss Family Robinson.
Yeah. And both were very enjoyable. 20,000 Leagues is very long.
Yeah.
But it's still enjoyable in a weird way. Like, you need time and you need to devote yourself to it. Like, put your phone down and just pay attention. Because I think it's very easy for a movie like that to pick up your phone and like, I'm going to do other things. But then... You miss sight of the little things that are still brilliant in that film.
Right.
But it is very long. What? And there's some parts of it that you're just like, why did we need this part? But then afterward, you're just like, oh, because it was gorgeous to look at.
Yeah, I was about to say, and I think that's what that movie kind of encapsulated was this whole idea of like, these are things that previously hadn't been done.
Yeah.
And now we're going to do it because we're going to pioneer this. And you know, at the time, like, that was awe-inspiring. You know, for now we've got CGI and all these other crazy things that we can do.
Basically showing off.
Yeah, exactly. We look back on it and we go, oh, that feels outdated. But when you think about the technology they had at the time, like, it's so advanced. And, you know, them creating things to be able to do the shots that they wanted to do.
A giant squid.
Yeah, it's intense. So I'm excited for this. Is this something that you would want to see?
I am. Captain Nemo is just one of those, you know, characters that you hear from, obviously, from the old stories, but then in other adaptations and other people's movies, like, a lot of people touch on Captain Nemo. And so to see the prequel to this specific, you know, obviously it was from the book. What is it? Hugo, I couldn't remember his last name, or if that was the last name of the writer. Like, this is going to follow that storyline of it. Irving? No. I don't know. Anywho, so...
No, it's Jules Verne.
Jules Verne,
yeah,
that's what
I was
thinking of.
I was like, no.
I think I'm thinking of the movie.
Well, or you're thinking of Victor Hugo, who wrote Hunchback of Notre Dame.
No.
No? Mm-mm.
Nope. There's another Hugo tied to something with this. Leagues? It might be an actor. I don't know. It could be somebody who just wrote on it or is working on the new one. I have no idea. But anyway, so with this one... Captain Nemo, if that's what it will be titled, as we know it's going to be the prequel to it. Originally, James Mangold was brought on to direct. But before him, I want to say it was, who was it? David Fincher was before him. But all these people keep dropping off the project because they don't see eye to eye with the studio and the direction that they want it to go in. We don't even know at this point if Mangold is still going to be a part of this movie, because this was years ago, back in 2016, when this was mentioned. So I have no idea. At this point, we just know it's working, it's gonna happen, hopefully. I don't know. If we get another 3 years, it probably won't happen. But it needs a director. Back then, I want to say the writer was Sebastian Gutierrez. So that's the one who put out the first version of the script that they got going on right now. Let's see if it sticks.
Right.
Yeah. It's just all a matter of if Disney can agree, because at the end of the day, it's their call.
Right. Oh yeah. No, 100%. So I don't know. I'd be excited. So if it happens, cool. If not, then I mean, we're no worse off than we are right now. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. All right. So let's move it into some Marvel news here. Cause that's what we do. So with Captain Marvel, you know, we talked about last week how the opening weekend was pretty massive. You know, I think they had come pretty darn close to $500 million just in, you know, global box office revenue just within that opening weekend. So, you know, we did see a drop going from opening weekend to second weekend, which they pretty much expected, and the 55% drop was almost industry standard, especially with a lot of the other Marvel movies, a lot of the standalones that weren't like your key three, you know, like your Iron Man, Captain America, and Hulk, but all the other ones like Ant-Man or Doctor Strange, all of those ones had a fairly similar second week drop. But even with the drop, Captain Marvel has still cleared $760 million worldwide at the box office right now. So,
goodness.
I mean, you got to figure this movie literally came out last weekend. So now we're 2 weekends in and they've already got $750 million. I mean, this one's going to clear $1 billion for sure, right?
It has to. I mean, if it drops down, then that's going to be like the biggest drop of all time, I guess.
Well, the only thing that I can think of is like you've got Dumbo coming out later this month, which is obviously still a Disney flick.
Yes.
You've got Shazam coming out early April.
2 weeks until Dumbo. So, I mean, she's still got 2 weeks.
So as long as the film has legs, then it'll be fine. But I mean, if you consistently see those drop-offs each weekend, I can see it starting to peter out towards the end of the month, because mm-hmm. then you've got to figure after Dumbo, you've got Shazam. So that's another superhero movie that's going to cut into it. And then later on in April, you've got Endgame. So, I mean,
that one's going to kill it for sure.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, everybody's going to go to see Endgame. Yeah. Or if anything, the people that go see Endgame are either going to want to go back and watch Captain Marvel, or the ones that didn't watch Captain Marvel, but watch Endgame, then that'll give them the incentive to go watch it. So
yeah, it's possible. So then it might have a little bump right after that.
Exactly.
Because they're like, oh, I didn't see that film, and now I'm like fiending for another. So yeah, they might go back and watch it. So hopefully it boosts its numbers rather than, you know, so drops them off.
Do you think that this one clears the 1.3 that Black Panther hit?
I don't, because originally, well, I don't know, but it could surprise me, because this has surprised me how fast it's I guess got to this number.
Right.
I was expecting this film to cap out around 800. So the fact that we are already there, like just mere numbers from there, it's going to happen within 2 weeks of it opening. It's completely just, I don't know, appalling, but awesome. I didn't see it happening, Captain Marvel. I'm sorry for doubting you, chick, but I did. I just thought it was going to be more of a Doctor Strange.
Ant-Man.
Yeah. It just felt like that was going to happen. And like, then so much of the negativity out there, I hate it, but I feel like that plays a big part on it, right, on numbers. But maybe those people were just more curious.
Yeah.
And they needed to see it for themselves.
So you were thinking it was going to settle between like that 600 and 700,000 range?
No, around 800. I thought it would make 800,000.
So you were thinking,
but then stop, like between 8 and 850. Like, yeah. I thought that's where it would be.
So that, I mean, that would have done like Spider-Man: Homecoming,
yeah,
Thor
Ragnarok,
a little bit. Guardians Volume 2. Like they all sat within
that
same wheelhouse. So,
but it's not that $1 billion movie,
right?
You know, that
right.
Everybody's like, oh my god, it made Disney another billion.
Well, you figure at that point you had what, like Iron Man 3, Black Panther, and the Avengers movies, Civil War. Like, those are your billion-dollar movies.
Right.
So.
A lot of the team-ups, a lot of the, I don't know, I guess highly anticipated films. So, yeah, maybe it will make a billion, but I don't know if it'll make the Black Panther numbers. But it's good that I doubt it, because it I'm wrong, usually.
Right.
So
I would rather it proves me wrong.
I am going to doubt it and say that it'll make around a billion, and that's it.
Nice. Well, I'm pretty sure that Disney would be super happy with another billion-dollar Marvel movie.
Because I'm
so
pretty sure if she does it, Endgame's definitely going to do it.
Well, and when you think about it just from like the trailer view perspective, right? So we got another Avengers Endgame trailer, or I guess. Yeah, this is trailer two. And it actually gave us a look at the quantum suits, which you and I had discussed previously on the show. And we'd actually posted about it on Instagram with some leaked toy packaging, which showed them in these like white and gray suits.
Right.
Very reminiscent to the Hank Pym suit that he wears at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp when he goes into the quantum realm to save Janet. Sorry, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Ant-Man and the Wasp, what's wrong with you? But what's really, really interesting about this is the first Avengers Endgame trailer. So this was the one where it was just Tony speaking to his helmet at first, and then it starts showing some of the other scenes. With that one is actually still holds the record for the most views in the first 24 hours. So that one has 289 million views.
Wow.
So that one still holds true. But then the second most viewed trailer is actually this one. So Endgame number two trailer, mm-hmm. So that one dropped at 268, so about 21 million less views than what we saw with the first Endgame trailer.
Huh.
Which is interesting, because I liked this trailer better.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it gave us a little bit more, gave us more Hawkeye. We got that one random shot that it's either his daughter or it's Kate Bishop, or we have no idea.
We'll find out.
I liked the each person kind of talking, and the Schindler's List-esque flashbacks where it's black and white but then red.
Oh,
like the little pockets of red, like Thor's cape, Captain America's gloves. Like, I love that. I thought that was really well executed, and it gave a particular vibe to the trailer that I was really looking forward
to. Well, if it's anything like Schindler's List, horrible, sad, dark, emotional.
Yeah. Well, but I think with this one, you got a
great
figure.
Film, but also
right. But we're starting from a very dark place in this one,
and then we
have to build back towards the happy ending.
I mean, it is called Endgame. And I love that we just watched Infinity War and we heard Doctor Strange straight up say, we're in the endgame. And then you have the Russos over there like, psh, we never mentioned it in a film, blah, 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 blah. They lie to us so much and we just go with it.
Yeah.
We believe them because they're that good of liars.
Or we just,
they said,
or
they
we're
said
just too
no.
trusting. We're just
we do. We
trusting.
Trust them. They said they weren't going to do it. They said they didn't. And then every movie they lie about something and it's in there.
So let me ask you this. If you had to guess what the third most viewed trailer in the first 24 hours was, what would you think the third one would be?
The third most viewed trailer?
In the first 24 hours. So if the first two are Endgame, what do you think the third most viewed trailer behind those two?
Didn't it just happen?
Nope.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of animated. Oh, gosh. I don't know.
We just watched the movie.
Oh, Infinity War?
Yep.
Oh.
So Avengers holds the top three. And then after that, it's Lion King and It. That's the top five.
Weird. It?
Yeah, it had a... Well, that one was big. People
it was
were
big.
Really...
Yeah, pumped that it... Yeah.
Really big on that one. So, but it's funny because, like, the oldest movie that has the most views is Force Awakens.
Hmm.
That's the oldest movie that date all the way back to 2015. That's the oldest one. Everything else is newer than that. So,
wow.
A lot of 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019.
And then, of course, Episode 9 is going to kill it when it comes out.
I believe so. I think that one will definitely take a big chunk out of that top 20.
That one will probably break the internet.
So it'll knock the Transformers The Last Night or whatever off.
Really?
Yeah, that's the
20th. A Transformers?
Yep. Hey, but,
and not like the first one?
But to be fair, Captain America Civil War is the 19th, and then Pokemon Detective Pikachu is one above that at 18th. So you can't really judge these for... The same, you know, in the same wheelhouse. So.
People are interested in what they're interested in.
This
and
is
it's
true.
Not all the same stuff.
No, not at all. But yeah, I was a huge fan of this trailer. I really liked what they brought to the table. It gets me excited because I feel like they did give us a little bit of extra information, especially the lineup where they're walking. And I'm sorry if there was anybody listening to the show right now that's like, I'm trying to avoid all spoilers. So like,
give us a couple minutes,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, if you want to tune out for like the next minute or two,
I know there's
you'll be
a couple
good.
Of you.
But the lineup, right? So we saw the quantum suits and then they show the lineup of the Avengers as they're walking. So we see Cap, we see Nebula, we see Widow, Hawkeye, Ant-Man, Rhodey. Am I missing anybody? Oh, that's right. Iron Man.
Tony Stark.
Yeah.
What the French, Tony?
So there have been a couple of different fan theories as to how he made it back. One is that Nebula gives him some of her parts so mm-hmm. they can like repair the engine to be able to use it.
Aww.
Another one is that they find the batteries that Rocket left behind, or that Nebula has the batteries that he stole from the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The energy mode.
The douchebags. that they use those. Other one.
The Amulex batteries.
The Amulex batteries. There you go.
The Arbalary batteries.
Arbalary batteries. Another one is that Captain Marvel finds them on her way to Earth and that she brings them in. The fan theory that I like the most is the one that I came up with is that Tony sacrifices himself to send Nebula to Earth and he dies in space and then they go back in time and they get a different Tony Stark from the past and bring him to the future because they realize they need Tony in order to be able to beat Thanos.
So it's Tony, just different time.
It's a different time period Tony or an alternate universe Tony.
Oh, that's so... I mean, it's obviously the same Tony because it's just a different time. I mean, not the same, but it's
right.
the same.
Well, he hasn't experienced all of the same experiences. The only caveat to that is that if it's not a Tony that experienced Civil War, how do you have the closure conversation between Steve and Tony? You have to have that. Right? Like, if this is going to be, like, the last movie
well,
for the two of them.
Well, we want that, but
yeah,
do you have
you have
it?
To have that scene where, like, they basically agree that they should have been unified.
This
Whatever
is,
the decision was, they should have been
unified.
This is the
unified. Russo brothers chickening out on that. And, like, we just can't.
Yeah, we can't
we
have that
know.
Conversation. We don't know how to write it. So, yeah. So, I don't know. I'm excited
to
see how it kind of plays out, though.
The fact that they showed him in the trailer, I did not expect him to be in any of the team-up scenes because I thought they were going to leave that a little bit more left, I guess, to desire. But because they showed him, I think it means that the stakes are just even higher with what happens to him. And I'm so bummed out about that.
But that's I got to be honest. I don't think they kill off Stark. Because I think that they still need him for other things in this universe. I think if anyone bites the dust, it's Steve.
It's Cap.
Yeah,
for show.
It's Steve.
I mean, he's over 100 years old. If anybody's lived a long life, I mean, he was in ice most of it. But if anybody's lived a long, full life, it's him.
right? If anyone's due for a retirement plan, a permanent retirement plan,
it's him and Bucky. Okay, they're both gonna go, but apparently not, because Bucky's gonna stick around and be new Cap or whatever. It's gonna be like half Cap because it's gonna be him and Falcon. They're gonna share the role and be like, you know what? No, you take it. No, you, because they're best friends now. I just can't with Tony. I know that we saw him get stabbed in Infinity War and we were kind of like, this is it. This is where we lose him. And then Doctor Strange does that thing where he's like, this was the only way.
Right.
And we're like, good job, Doctor Strange, because I'd rather have him than you. But they're going to break my heart. I just know it.
So there are so many other spoilers and whatnot that I've read
he's
and
not
heard
allowed
about,
to
but
say
I
them.
Am not allowed to say it because even Brittany doesn't want to hear about them. So this may be either a solo episode or maybe this will be an actual video post that I do, but we'll see. So there are other things that I'd like to talk about and theories and whatnot, but we've got other news that we have to get into. So we're going to go ahead and do that. This last bit of Marvel news is probably my favorite. I mean, let's be honest. I love the trailer and I love the fact that Captain Marvel is killing it at the box office. But let's be honest here. James Gunn himself has been reinstated as the director for Guardians Volume 3. Can I get an amen? Whoa, man.
Oh, this is an amen.
Amen, brother. So what's really cool about this is that apparently that there have been conversations going on behind the scenes for months now in that Alan Horn, the production arm of Disney Studios, he himself has been having conversations with James Gunn. So I don't know if it was like they were waiting for a sufficient length of time after the breakup to be able to continue those conversations, or maybe it was something that was ongoing for a while where they told James like, hey, we do want to bring you back, but we do need to let some of this fervor die down before we bring you back. I've seen mixed reactions on the internet. It seems like majority of people are fairly excited. How about for you?
Yeah, most of the reactions are excitement. For me, I'm pumped. I know we did a special episode for this?
Yeah, we talked
where
about
we just
this.
Wanted
yeah,
to give
yeah.
our thoughts because we were so 50-50 on this. We understood where Disney was coming from. The stuff that he said was not okay. It was very offensive. But then he also came out and he apologized for it. And since then has not been that person in any way.
Yeah.
He didn't act on those tweets. It wasn't something that he had physically done. Like, there's no proof that these things have happened. So it's all just talk. And if that's the case, there's so many people out there who wouldn't have jobs right now. It's just
right.
No comedian would work for anything else other than being a comedian
right.
or being in rated R or more mature things.
Well, I think the only one that gets away with it is probably Will Smith because he has kept a fairly clean record, especially when it comes to like his music and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I could see him not getting a whole lot of backlash, mm-hmm. but with James Gunn and with him trying to be more of a shock individual.
Well, think about Sarah Silverman. Like, she has said tons of crazy things in her stand-up.
Yeah.
She still does. And she's very – all comedians are opinionated. That's
right.
their job. Like, you have to be. That's what makes you funny. But she's still working for Disney.
Well, you look at her, even John C. Reilly with, like, some of the movies mm-hmm. that he's done with Will Ferrell. Like, obviously, you know, these guys
– James Woods.
James Woods for sure.
Probably the worst. But yet he still gets jobs with Disney most recently. I don't know if it was technically Disney who employed him, but with Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Like, who employed him for that? Was it Square Enix?
Square Enix, yeah.
Would have, but
it's still licensed
I'm
for Disney.
Yeah, so. I'm sure Disney had to be like, no, we can or cannot, you know, work with that guy if it was that serious. And he was one who came out and had to tweet about it and was like, oh, is Roseanne back too? No.
Right.
Like, he was being bitter about it. And it's like, dude, you're still getting paid kind of by the mouse. Shut up.
Right. Crying about nothing. So what I thought was really cool is that James Gunn did put out a letter to the fans. So he said, I am tremendously grateful to every person out there who has supported me over the past few months. I'm always learning and will continue to work at being the best human being I can be. I deeply appreciate Disney's decision, and I am excited to continue making films that investigate the ties of love that bind us all. I have been and continue to be incredibly humbled by your love and support. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Love to you all. So I thought it was really, really cool. Like,
yes.
For him to put out that message for, you know, Disney to be supportive, for them to bring it back. Because let's be honest, as much as, and it was really funny because Taika Waititi did tweet out, like, I thought I was supposed to do this movie. So I thought that was really funny. But I love that they did recognize that at the end of the day, like, the Guardians are James Gunn.
Yes.
Like, that is his creation. He has fathered those characters in every sense of the word. So I am incredibly excited to see him return. And I was thinking about it, and I wonder if for Infinity War, he pretty much directed the scene that had the Guardians with, like, Thor, and then the Drax is invisible
on the ship.
Yeah. So, like, those were directed by him. So I was like, well, doesn't he get? I think he has, like, an executive producer credit on Infinity War. So I was like, I'm pretty sure that he
for Endgame.
For Endgame. Yeah, he does. Executive producer. So I was like, I'm pretty sure that he worked on some of the Guardian scenes for Endgame.
Right.
So they had
was already in the works or something.
Right. But that's what I'm saying, is like, they fired him from one, but we're like, yeah, but we still need you to work on this. Yeah. So I think it is kind of like a little bit of talking out of both sides of the mouths. Both sides of the mouse. So I think it's...
That works,
whoa,
too.
That's awkward.
It works.
So I just wonder, like, how honest Disney really was with the firing of James Gunn. If it was more of like, we're going to do this because that's what people are expecting, and we had just done this with Roseanne Barr, but the intention was always to bring him back. And maybe that's why James wasn't super bitter and outspoken about it, was because he knew, like, oh, I'll keep a tight lid on it until...
I think he wasn't super bitter because I think he's a more of a classier character than Roseanne is, because she continued to tweet out nasty things since... I don't know, forever. And she didn't stop tweeting after that. But James Gunn took a hiatus. He was like, you know what?
I'll take a break.
I don't need to do this because it's just going to get me into trouble, because people are going to say things and I'm going to respond and it's not going to be what they want to hear. So smart on his part, whether it was he was told to by Disney or not. I personally think that this is something that... No, Disney legit fired him, because there's always word of mouth. We always talk about this when it comes to companies and celebrities. Nothing gets by. It may for a few years, but it will come out. Something will always surface, and it's when you don't want it to. So whether it's a few years from now when something else is going on, somebody's going to get in trouble for it if they were lying about it.
Yeah.
So that's why I think Disney did fire him, because – somebody always wants to leak your rumors.
Yeah, no, 100%. So, and speaking of leaking rumors, if you guys would like, go on the Avengers Endgame IMDb page.
And
you will see some. You will see some pretty interesting casting on there.
I will not look.
No. But it gives you it backs up some of the rumors that we've heard. So
well, then I don't want to look.
Yeah, so if you get a chance, go and check that out. Very cool. So I think that's all for Marvel news. You want to jump into some Star Wars news now?
Yeah, Star Wars.
Okay, perfect. So with Star Wars, and I'll get this started, because this was something that was actually really, really interesting
for you.
To me, but maybe
you
not
old
so
man.
Much. Maybe not so much to you, just because you were an infant child when this was happening.
I don't think I was playing those kinds of video games yet.
No, not so much. So Star Wars Dark Forces getting an unofficial remake. So for a little bit more clarification on that, senior environment artist for Obsidian game development is Jason Lewis, and he initially had worked on a project called Docking Bay 94, which was basically you were on Tatooine. It was a first person shooter, a la the old 90s LucasArts video games. Like, obviously updated, so the graphics are phenomenal, but you're walking around Mos Eisley. You get to see the Falcon and some X-Wings and a Lambda-class Imperial shuttle. But apparently right now he's been in, and this was a couple years ago that he developed this, and you can download it for free and check it out. But apparently he's working on the remaking the first level of Star Wars Dark Forces, and he's doing it on the Unreal Engine 4. So this is really cool, because one, it does give us an updated view of a game that, I mean, God, that came out like 1995, I want to say. So you're looking at a game that is 24 years old at this point. So it has been a decent amount of time, but you're getting a look at a game that, if you updated the graphics, gameplay wise, would probably still hold up to like what we have today. Like, you look at like the Call of Duty games, or the Medal of Honor, or any first person shooter, and you can very much
Heroes
see
Duty.
Yeah, you Heroes Duty, Medal of Heroes, You could still see how games like this can hold up, and that maybe there is a market to redo and renovate some of these old LucasArts games, especially the ones that hold that affinity for Star Wars fans, whether it's, you know, Rebel Assault or X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, like we're talking about right now with Dark Forces. I would love to see these games brought back and brought back to the forefront because, one, they were incredibly fun. It expanded the canon, you know, beyond just what we were reading in the books. And really, for a time, like, that was the only Star Wars we were getting. I mean, yeah, in 1995, we kind of knew that they were going to at least do the anniversary re-releases in 1997. But then, really, we didn't know about Episode 1 until about 97. So we were still several years off from that. For you, I know you're not big. You're not really a big gamer, other than if you're going to button mash for like Mortal Kombat.
Oh, and beat you? Okay.
Exactly. Well, you definitely do. I'll own that one. But but for you, is this something that you think you would take an interest in because it is giving you an opportunity to look at games that you never got the opportunity to play?
I think it's more exciting to see the games that you were playing when you were younger. Like, that's why it's exciting for me. I'm always excited when a new game comes out because the idea of it, of playing, is like, yeah, I want to play that. And then when it comes out, I'm just like, gosh, man, I'm too old and I don't have the time to do it. For you, it's in your code. Like, that is something that has always been there. For me, Super Nintendo was in my code and that was like it.
Right.
I didn't continue to play video games after Super Nintendo other than like PlayStation. And I had very, very small catalog of PlayStation games that I had. So I didn't buy a bunch. I got interested in other things and I just didn't stick with games. So for me, I'm excited to see the games you played and what so many people talk about, because I feel like these 90s games were huge. Our dog is going crazy because our fire alarm is beeping. So it's time to change the batteries on that. And she's losing it because she keeps hearing a chirping sound. So sorry if you guys are annoyed by that. We'll try to get it fixed by next time. Anywho, so yeah, I'm pumped to see the style of game you were playing. I guess with today's graphics, I don't know. I guess I would probably appreciate it more if it was yesteryear's graphics, though.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, because it still has like the vibe of those old style games, but it has the graphic engines of what we have powering today's games.
Right.
So if you can imagine like the goofy one person or first person shooter feel of mid 90s mm-hmm. on a PC, but with like PlayStation 4 graphics. So
nice.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So no, so as of right now, there's no real release date for that, but you know, keep
checking
back. Are
they simple games? Like simple,
yeah,
to play.
Yeah, it's like go around, you know, walk here, walk there, shoot the bad guys,
okay,
I'm interested,
then.
Keep walking.
Yeah. See, those are the kinds of games I like.
Yeah,
like I don't need all this craziness.
Do you ever play like Doom or Quake or any of those ones?
No.
God, I'm dating myself here.
You did that when you decided to date me.
But what? Yeah, this is true. But what? I'm trying to think. Did you ever play a first person shooter game?
I don't
think of one.
Really like first person shooter games. Like the idea of shooter in the name is already throws me off.
Yeah. Castle Wolfenstein?
Nope. What the heck? I don't think I've ever heard of that. Are you making things up right now?
No, that's the actual game. Yeah. Oh, that's like the first person shooter game.
Nope.
Yeah, you know, you run around a castle shooting Nazis and then demons show up.
Ooh,
why not?
That sounds like a game I want to play then.
Yeah, it's
you
actually
shoot Nazis.
It's actually radical. So.
Nazis?
Yeah.
Cool. I like it. All right, so let's move it along to Galaxy's Edge. Of course, we had to bring this up because, I mean, it's all everybody's talking about lately. Galaxy's Edge panel at Celebration. So this is where I assumed we were going to find out the opening dates for Galaxy's Edge, but
they jumped the gun.
Disney was like, psh, we don't do anything by the book. But they did recently announce that there will be a Galaxy's Edge panel called Bringing Star Wars Galaxy's Edge to Life at Disney Parks. And this will be the Saturday of the celebration that is happening in Chicago, just a few weeks away. Goodness, it's April 11th through the 15th. And this panel will be April 13th. And of course, head to StarWars.com, go to the celebration, find that. I don't know if they have released times yet. I feel like that is still under wraps. They are telling you all the panels for now and who's going to be there, what to expect, but I don't think times are released yet. I think that is a little bit closer to. And then, of course, you got to get the app. You got to stay up to date. You got to checkmark what you want to go to. if you are lucky enough to be attending Celebration Chicago. But with this one, of course, they're saying they're going to give you all new info on the land, which we know a ton already. So what could they really be giving us that we don't know yet? But if it's a whole panel, it's got to be good. So if we were there, this is a panel I would want to go to.
Well, yeah. I mean, because you think about when we were at the last D23, and they showed the initial concept art, and you know, we got to see the whole model laid out of what the land was going to look like. I mean, we've always been super invested and excited for the bits of news that they release on this. So, I mean, if they're going to do an entire panel, like, who wouldn't want it? What Star Wars fan would not be
Star
enamored?
Wars Disney
fan? Yeah. Who would not be enamored with learning more about this, you know?
And Star Wars fans. Like, Star Wars fans out there who aren't huge Disney fans, what are your thoughts and your takes on this? I don't think our listener is that, like, that group of people. I feel like our listener tends to be a very big Disney fan as well as a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
So I think we all have the same ideas, but
little bit of an echo chamber.
Yeah. So I don't know many people out there who aren't that huge of Disney fans. I mean, we did with the 501st, but it's been very rare that we chat with them lately. Yeah. So I don't know what their ideas are. Like, are they pumped for Star Wars Land? Like, is this something that they're just like, yeah, we get a Star Wars Land? Or if they're just like, oh, it's another thing Disney's ruining.
Well, I think it's kind of tough, right?
Because trying to rake in the money for.
Well, like with Galaxy's Edge, that is creating a world for the average person to be able to go and experience. Mm-hmm. The 501st tries to create an experience for the average person to have. Mm-hmm. So it's like when we don the masks and the costumes, we take on that persona. We cease to be, you know, Anakin Skywalker and become Darth Vader. In so many words, so that's essentially what it is.
This sounds like a dream job, then.
Exactly. Like, if anything, they're going to go to this and be like, I wish I could experience this, but in costume. Like, yeah. I would love to be in my costume and still have those interactions with people,
yeah,
but be able to do it in Galaxy's Edge. I'll be honest. I would love to wear my Imperial Cadet uniform to Galaxy's Edge. But I know that Disney would be like, yeah, but can't
I wonder
wear that.
If they ever will have a day for that, though. Like, if they will ever do a 501st day just to make it like some crazy epic event and be like, how more immersive can this get?
Well, I'm actually surprised we haven't heard anything about an announcement for this, because Disney's been really, really good about giving 501st premiere tickets anytime they've released one of the films.
Right.
Manoa got to go see Rogue One like a week or so before it ever came out in theaters. So, and they had a whole big to do, like they had like what, an X-Wing, and they had the actors from the film were there. I mean, it was they've been really good about making this inclusive when it comes to the 501st. So I'm surprised we haven't heard anything, or that I haven't seen anything come across that has been like, hey, we're, you know, you can typically it's a first come, first serve basis. So the first people to offer up or to volunteer for these type of events, those are the ones that typically get taken. And they're pretty good about balancing it. Like, hey, if you were one that got to go to the last event, then this event, offer it to somebody that hasn't gotten the chance to go.
Well, because it is so much what 501st already do, as in being in costume, there's no point. Like, I don't see any point for Disney to extend it out to 501st, because in the long run, 501st are just like every other fan. I mean, yeah, they go above and beyond and they do more for charities. Yeah. Awesome. Amazing. But in Disney's eyes, it's just another fan. You know, like, why are they going to extend it out to them when they have crazy amounts of people who are dying to get there?
Because a lot of the times Disney uses the 501st for particular events.
For films. Like, it makes sense for films.
No, for films, for premieres, for unveilings. A lot of the times, like, when you see stormtroopers lined up, a lot of that is the Southern California garrison. Like, those are just average people that have a particular costume,
but
that
also
fits whatever they're.
Think about what those costumes, those stormtroopers, and the First Order troopers costumes look like compared to a 501st, and how like meticulous 501st members are. And when they go into Star Wars, they're like, oh, we do that so much better. You know, like they knock it so much where they're just like, no, like we even do it better than Disney. So could you really have them there for opening and then be like, wait a minute, those aren't the same costumes
I'm not saying for like the opening day. I'm saying like to do a pre-open event that is only for 501st people, that you could go in, wear your costume, get to walk around Galaxy's
Edge. It would
be
fun.
And make it feel like it is that, like, oh, I'm in costume and I'm in a Star Wars land. That's what I was saying. Not opening day. No, you would have your park employee.
I thought you were saying this is the stage and they're announcing the opening and then they wanted them. I'm like, no, they're just going to have their own cast members in costume.
Oh, yeah, you know, 100%.
That's why I'm saying, like, that doesn't make sense. It's redundant.
And even I've picked apart, like, the Darth Vader and the Stormtroopers costumes that they've used for, like, the Trial of the Jedi or the Jedi Academy and whatnot. So, I mean, like, all of us do it because we have a tendency to look for the flaws, right?
Yes.
But yeah, no, for this, I was thinking more of like a before the actual opening for everybody. They would get the first crack at it,
I don't. Yeah, I didn't ever see that happen. I just feel like since it hasn't been really announced for anybody, I don't think they're going to be like, we're going to do it for the 501st.
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. But yeah, so I thought that was really interesting. But Star Wars Celebration comes up a month away now.
Yeah, April 11th through the 15th. Again, this panel is specifically that Saturday, the 13th, bringing Star Wars Galaxy's Edge to life at Disney Parks. They even say there might be a few surprises during the session. So nice. I imagine a celeb will be there. I'm sure either a big Disney head will be there or somebody. I'm – what's his name? Oh. Trevor, oh gosh, I don't even want to say it because I'm going to butcher it like I did the book earlier. So I will look it up before I even say it.
Nice.
Anyway.
Cool. So the last bit of Star Wars news that we have here, it's not really news, it's more just theories, right? So this was kind of spawned from random conversations that you and I have had. But you really think about with episode 9, you know, what we've seen with 7 and with 8, we have seen parallels with 4 and 5. So the expectation is that you'll probably see a lot of parallels between episode 9 and episode 6. However, with that being said, do you really see Kylo Ren basically having the same, you know, fall and then redemption story that we saw with Darth Vader? And I think that that's incredibly difficult to balance because, it would be expected, right? Because this is... they have followed a particular story path so far, and that this would be kind of what you would see coming up next. But you also don't want to rehash that same story again and again. So it does need to be something new, something fresh for this particular character. So for you, like, do you really see them doing what? I mean, if you're writing Kylo Ren, what do you do with him for episode 9? Do you redeem him? Do you kill him off? Do you have like him and Rey create a new brand of Jedi?
New world order.
this new gray Jedi where they do find that commonality between the two of them. Like, is she able to not redeem him as though, like, he has, oh, I'm coming all the way back to the light side, but that they do both understand that you can't live exclusively in the dark or exclusively in the light?
I think that's too close of still Return of the Jedi. I think you go gray Jedi and it's kind of the... I don't know, taking the easy way out a little bit, as in you get the best of both worlds. He gets to be bad, she gets to be good, and we just get to live together.
Right.
Where it is if they kill him off, and he's evil when they kill him off, then we kill off the last of the Skywalkers.
Right?
He's the last one.
Well, as far as we know, unless Rey's the Skywalker.
Yeah, that, right. But, I mean, they kind of had a moment, so if they do, then that kind of got weird. But they've done it before. Hello.
Why
it's,
not?
It's happened before. We've seen a kiss on screen with brother and sister. I don't know. I want to say either the dark wins and he lives. But then does that mean Rey dies? What does that mean for everybody else? Does the Jedi die off? Do we finally get the balance of the Force that we originally wanted, which we thought we got with Vader turning back to the good? But we can't have... I don't think we can have that again. I don't think Kylo can go good.
Right.
And then it's too much Vader. It's just... it's too repetitive. And then JJ's going to get the same freaking flack that he got for... Force Awakens. Because it was kind of a New Hope-ish.
And it depends, right? Because we've heard rumors that, like, this one was going to be called Balance of the Force. We also, recently, something's been popping up that this one was going to be called The Only Hope or The Last Hope or something like that.
I hope not.
Yeah, no, I was like, no. So, but it just, it, I mean, still, it just sort of depends, right?
Balance, like, of the Force is like the only thing that sounds somewhat good, yeah, to me, at least.
Yeah. But maybe that's what it is. It's like, to balance the Force, they both die, right? Like,
yeah,
that they have to basically cancel each other out.
No, they both live.
But then,
we just continue the cycle.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying, is like, you don't really get resolution. No. And a lot of signs have pointed to that this will probably be this group of characters' last movies. Not to say that they won't do 10, 11, and 12, but it's been hinting that they won't return to these,
right,
characters.
Because when you do, then how do you not always touch back on the Skywalker?
Right. There's always the Skywalker saga.
Yeah. Hmm. Huh. I don't know. I see it more of as Kylo dying for some reason. I don't know why. It's just, that's where I'm going with it, is that when I see where this movie is going to go, I think Kylo is going to die.
I think it's tough because you think about how they really set everything up in The Last Jedi, right? Where when Kylo had the opportunity to take the shot at his mother's ship, and he hesitates. So whereas with his father, he killed his father, his mother, he couldn't do that. So do they have a point where Leia passes on and that affects Kylo in a particular way? Do they, you know, end up doing a...
But then that's bringing him to the light side again. Like,
well, yeah, no, no. But do they do a reversal?
I wouldn't hate that. Yeah. If it is like Return of the Jedi, I would not be angry. It's the same as me not being angry at Force Awakens happening in the way it does and the similarities that it does have to A New Hope. It's a good freaking movie. It has a formula. It works. I get it. It's just new characters, kind of a different story, you know, told a different way. I wouldn't be mad if Kylo comes to the light side or has a realization of, I'm just going to exist without being light or dark. I don't know if that's even possible. Gray, like you said.
Yeah.
I just don't. I feel like fans will be so upset. And I think right now Disney and Lucasfilm are in that really tight spot where they have to do it right.
Yeah.
And which one is it going to piss off more? Like, what direction do they go in without pissing off the most people?
Well, but if you're thinking of like the average Star Wars fan, what do you think they want to see? What, like, with this character, with Kylo Ren, what do you think the average fan wants
honestly
to see?
I think they want to see a rehash of Vader. I think they do want to see him come to, like, the light side and realization of, holy crap, I killed my father, my mother is dead, I wanted to kill my uncle, like, I've destroyed everything around me.
Yeah.
And nothing is still how I want it to be. The one person that I wanted to be by my side thinks I'm nuts and doesn't want to be by my side. So there's nothing there for him other than that he's loony. Like, he's completely mad.
So when you think of The Last Jedi, what do you think was probably your favorite part of The Last Jedi? Like,
well, my favorite scene was obviously the Kylo Rey team up and
the throne room.
Yeah,
right?
Like, that was so BA of them. We're going to put our differences aside and we're going to beat this guy because we both freaking hate him.
And you think about the Force bridge that they would
that
have
was
throughout
interesting.
The movie. I loved that. So when you think about what worked in The Last Jedi, what people seemed to resonate with a little bit more was that. So I think if you continue, like, she shut him out,
she
right?
Did.
Right? She symbolically shut him
She's
out.
She's cold.
So I think he starts to feel that loneliness and
the void.
Yeah, that void in his life. And he feels like, okay, well, I do need somebody there. So he does end up reaching back out. I think that they do connect, because how much cooler would it have been if you could have seen, just even for a little bit longer, Luke and Vader fighting side by side together. Instead of Luke just getting electrocuted and then Vader throwing the Emperor, you know, into the reactor.
But then who is the bigger evil? Who is the bigger bad then? You know, because like, I feel like there always has to be somebody. If he comes too, who are they fighting other than Hux and his...
Yeah, you're fighting the First Order. Like, the two of them have
I
to bring
like
the First Order
I feel like when you don't
down.
Have a Sith in charge, like... I'm sorry, 501st people that are listening to this. I've never taken them seriously unless a Sith was in charge.
Yeah,
so that's just always how it's been.
Well, you need Maul or Vader or the Emperor. No, I'm with
somebody
you.
Somebody calling the shots.
Well,
like, I feel like once
that.
Kylo changed his sides, there's no freaking hope for them. That's how I look at it. But I know there's numbers and I know there's more of them.
Well,
so it
if you broaden out the Knights of Ren, right? And then those become the villains that they have to defeat.
Okay, there you go. Hello. I completely forgot about them. Duh. They were just completely gone. And I imagine JJ will bring them back because that was like his creation too. So that makes sense. Like, so maybe Kylo...
Has to turn against them.
But maybe he brings them on to begin with and is like, it's us against everybody because... Yeah. We got to get rid of these Jedi, and then he has his realization because he's a Skywalker, and that's what they do. Because,
like, say you bring in the Knights of Ren, and one of them ends up being Mara Jade,
right?
And then you find out that Mara Jade and Luke did get together, and that Rey is the kid, and
so she's a stepsister,
and that Mara left.
Oh no, she'd be a cousin.
She'd be his cousin. Mm-hmm. And that Mara left when the temple and everything fell apart, or like somehow she fell back to the dark side or something. You know, whenever people that are better at writing than I am. You know, and you have that, and she is the one that kind of leads the Knights of Ren against Kylo because she sees that weakness. She sees him falling to the light side. Because you do need somebody to take up that Snoke mantle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Snoke really was a little bit of a letdown in the way that he was
the biggest letdown.
So it's like, unless he's still alive or unless he's going to force ghost his way back into the film, I don't know. Like, same thing. Luke obviously is going to force ghost his way back in again. And he'll be that little mentor. Is he a mentor to Rey, or does he torment Kylo all the time? How funny would that be if he literally is just popping up to like talk trash to Kylo?
Well, if Johnson was writing it, that would probably happen. I think with JJ writing it, I don't know.
But JJ's even come out and said, like, what fans are expecting me to do is not going to be what I'm going to do.
No, I know that, but... The fans are expecting him to write the wrongs, air quotes, wrongs that Johnson did. And he has straight up said that, no, I'm not going to fix anything. I'm going to make the movie that I want to make and is the best movie I can possibly make, which I can appreciate that. So maybe that does mean that he's going to make Return of the Jedi.
Right.
I don't know. In my honest opinion, I would be happy if Kylo comes to the light side because I wanted that so bad at the end of The Last Jedi.
Right.
That when it didn't happen, I was really let down. It kind of, my heart kind of broke a little bit. I had a connection with him. And when it didn't happen, I was like, oh, he cut me deep.
Yeah.
So I do. I want it to happen. I'm just worried about what that does for the future of the Skywalker. Like, where. Do we leave it in like some sort of light, you know, literally leave it in light where the Skywalker name can live on and there could be, you know, some positivity there, not where the last of the Skywalkers gets killed off at the end of the saga. Cause that's kind of really dark. It's like, okay, so this is where we went with the Skywalker film. Like they're just done.
Right.
Like, nobody gets to have more kids. Like is Kylo ever going to have kids and continue the name? Unless Rey is also a Skywalker. We don't freaking know.
Right. But I think it depends. With the title of this film is going to be pretty indicative to like what the film's going to be about. And I do think if you go with Balance of the Force, you either go that they both die or they both live. Like, I don't think you can do the one person lives and the other person dies because then you're right back to Return of the Jedi and that things are still left unbalanced. Like, you have to find that balance of the Force.
Well, what is considered balance?
Equal light, equal dark. You cannot have shadows without the light.
Yeah. Can they be friends?
That's what I'm saying. It's symbiotic. It's it's two sides to the same coin. That's what I'm saying. It's like I think Kylo he still needs to be not Sith. Sith is too far to in one direction. But he needs to still have aspects of the dark side and aspects of the light side. Rey needs to do the same. She can't go full Jedi. Luke already explained that much to her, where he said, look, you can't go full tilt boogie. This doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, there are flaws on both sides. Yeah, but even Yoda, when he popped in, you know, and that one of my favorite lines is the, you know, they grow beyond what we teach. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's what it needs to be for both Rey and for Kylo.
Mm. So just let them live. Can we have a happy ending for both the dark and the light?
That's what, interesting.
That's what we need. Okay, so Balance of the Force, we made it. Guys, that's your title. It's going to be Balance of the Force. We're going to all be happy because we're going to be able to be both dark and light, just like we did from the very beginning of this whole craziness of Star Wars that exists. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'd be okay with it.
I guess we'll just have
to... I don't need closure.
Right? I guess at this point, we just have to wait and see where they end up going with it, so...
I guess the only thing I want closure for is Leia.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to see how they handle that one. I mean, it's still a... I think that one is the most difficult thing to figure out.
Right.
But by the same token, it's also... It needs to be done. You know, it's not something you can just let lie in limbo.
All right. So what are your thoughts? Where do you see Kylo Ren going for episode 9? Where do you see Rey going? What is going to happen in this movie? Are they... Maybe they're just not making it. Like, it's all a big lie. Episode 9 isn't happening. They're just getting us excited for things.
For a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah. And then they're just like, actually, you know what? We didn't know what to do after Last Jedi. We're done.
And terminated.
That would be the biggest, like, of all.
Biggest slap in the face.
I'm pretty sure Disney and Lucasfilm would lose all the money. And all the fans.
Yeah. Well... I guess if you're going to end it all at once, just, might as well get it all out of the way.
That was the balance of the Force.
Right? The balance is now you're all done.
All right.
Perfect. Well, I think that's all we had for the news. Let's take a real quick break and we'll pop back with some shout-outs. Shout-outs!
Fan flag fly engaged.
All right. So we'll get started with some of the fan reactions and shout-outs for all those that responded to the James Gunn announcement. So, salud. Sorry. No problem. Jedi Robbie's, damn right, so excited about this. Johnny No Friends, hallelujah. Carolyn Edgy, yes, exclamation mark. K Perez 822, got worried there that it might not turn around, but secretly held out hope. Not saying Marvel Studios wouldn't have found an esteemed director as replacement, but I'm glad they let bygones be bygones. Everyone makes mistakes. It's about owning up to them and moving forward. Hooray! Darth Omega, wow, what a circus. I wonder what went on in that conference meeting at Disney. I'm glad he's back and everyone moves forward. Well, you know, that is the motto. D-Geekster, this is as it should be. Gunn apologized more than sincerely and profusely for his past tweets, citing his immaturity at the time as well as his attempt to be a quote-unquote shocking entity online. He admitted it was stupid and hacky and was more than proven he has grown as a person. I'm glad that Disney understands something that society has forgotten, that things aren't black and white, but nuanced, and that people can and do change and grow. That being said, cannot wait to see Guardians of the Galaxy 3 being delivered to our eye holes the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Lacey Darling PDX, so happy that this happened. I can't imagine another Guardians without him. Plastin Vaus, yes! The Punko Head, I'm really happy to see him back on. The current version of the Guardians wouldn't be what they are without his vision. And then Lion Leo 16, yay, finally! So, a lot of good reactions, all positive, which is always good. But yeah, I was real excited for that.
Yes, I think everything was positive for the most part. Like I said, I saw a couple negative things in there, but it's mostly we knew it was going to be like, really, Disney, you're such hypocrites, because that's how people are. But yeah, we're excited for it. We were 50-50, and this just made it easier to make the decision for us. Thanks, Disney. We knew we wanted him back. And you did it, because there was nobody else to replace him. So, cool. I'm glad he's back. Let's see. What else do we want to talk about? Oh, that trailer. Hello. Well, what trailer? Let's talk about Endgame first. So, everybody, Jedi Robbie said, super pumped, also dreading the loss of my favorite heroes. I noticed a lot of action scenes, but not much in terms of where or when they were happening. On top of that, we saw no villains in the trailer at all. I like that, and I honestly hope that they don't release any more info about the film until it finally comes out. Ophelia, I'm right there with you. And I'm glad that they didn't show, like, there wasn't really a Thanos part of this trailer. We're sticking with, hey, we got to see these guys that we've stuck around for the last 10 years, you know?
Well, that, and there have been rumors of a secondary villain as well.
And there above he Thanos. Goes.
So I think that's probably why they're holding a lot of that close to the chest, because they don't want to have too much revealed.
Yeah, please don't. I don't need anything else from here, just TV spots, because you know they're going to do it. It's going to happen. So we have about, what, a month and a half away? I don't need
a month and a week.
We don't need any more trailers. Leave
give
it
me
at that.
One more.
No, we're good.
Give me one
we're
more.
Good.
That's more of like a funny trailer
no,
than like a.
It's gonna happen too. We are gonna get a comedic trailer, and it's like, just no. Leave me with my heart still hurting. That's where Infinity War left me. I'm okay with the trailers leaving me there, because you got to bring me back in the film.
Fair enough.
Yes, Marvel, get it right this time. D-Geekster, they gave us literally nothing as far as plot details, being left to our own conjectures and assumptions. It is painful but absolutely necessary, in my opinion. I would much rather go in nearly blind to this and be fully rocked to the core, to my core, than knowing any little details. My hope is that the Star Wars Episode 9 trailer is done this way too, though I feel they will have to give up more in order to
assuage,
and you knew it, a specific a segment of the fandom. I am really just over the top excited for Endgame. It's going to be a crazy, crazy ride. Yes. Totally agree. And then down there, we kept commenting, and he called Thanos a turd, and I just thought that was really funny.
Turd blossom.
Nope, just a turd. Stephen Matthew says, I'm not crying, you're crying. Okay, I'm crying. And yes, that was originally the caption that I had posted for the trailer when I had put it up, was, okay, we're not crying, you're crying. And then Instagram was like, nope, you can't put this out because you're violating copyright. And I'm like, really? Yeah. It's a trailer. Don't you want people to see your trailer? Yep, poops. They're like, yeah, but we want views on our YouTube.
Yeah, on their own.
I'm sure that's what it was.
For sure, 100%.
Because then eventually one of them did get through.
Right.
Anywho, just got to be persistent. Darth Omega, such a great trailer. Quick recap, plus those new suits. And Tony Stark still fights on. Yep. I'm questioning that too. Caroline EG said, I'm trying to avoid trailers like the plague. I like to be surprised when I go to movies. So 99% of the time, I won't watch a trailer before I watch something. I'm excited. There are so many people out there like that. And that's nuts to me.
That like people just don't watch trailers. They want to go in blind.
I love that. It's cool. I get the idea of not knowing anything, because there's a part of me that doesn't want to know everything.
Right.
But I feel like when you're a company like Marvel and Disney, they know what, and even Star Wars, they know what not to put in a trailer. That you feel like you're getting too much, but when you watch the film, you don't ever, because they don't give you anything for the most part of what the plot is going to be. They, if anything, they just show you what everybody's going to look like and the new suits. Like, that's about it.
Right. But I mean, to some degree, sometimes that's all you need.
No, that is all you need. And that's what I'm saying. If you know how to do a trailer right, like Disney, Lucasfilm, and Marvel,
then
it's fine if you watch the trailers. Yeah. You'll never go into a film being like, oh, they gave all that away.
Right.
But I get the whole idea of like, I don't want to know anything. Like, that's cool. Because if that's the case, then you have to be 100% with it. Yeah. You can't be like, I'm going to watch this one, but I'm not going to watch that one. It's like, nope, because that's going to be the one that's going to give it away for you.
True.
It won't. But yeah, that's everybody's excitement on Endgame. Do we want to talk about Aladdin?
Yeah, sure. Pop in the Aladdin stuff.
All right. So really quick. That's so much this week, I feel like.
Well, they dropped two trailers and a pretty big bombshell of news. So
Darth Omega for Aladdin. Yeah, I'm looking at this and it put a smile on my face. Way better now, in my opinion. Same here. I think we were both just like, what? Yeah. That was so good. The comedy, like Will Smith's like, now there's a gray area.
Yeah, so I can make you a prince. Y'all see my castle?
That was awesome. My palace.
Oh, yeah.
Dark hair girl said, wee! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. The Punko head said, I was going to see it regardless, but I am 100% more pumped than before. Same here. The Real Ginger 23, I'm so freaking hyped for this movie. And then K Perez 822 says, this is going to be great. I agree that this trailer knocked it out and gave us just the visuals, feel and excitement everyone needed. I am seeing it no matter what, because it's close number two spot for me of Disney movies from my childhood.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah. I think it's number two for me as well. Peter Pan being number one.
Yeah. Great Mouse Detective, and then Aladdin.
Aladdin, yeah. So this movie has a lot to hold up to being, you know, one of our favorites. But when it is animated to live action, there is a big difference there.
Yeah.
Whether it being the story or not, if you can't see that there's such a huge difference just with animation, live action, visually, people, not everybody loves animation, but there are people who do love both. So we are those people.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Cool. Any other shout outs?
Oh, there's always more shout outs, but we're going to stop there because we're getting really, really
long,
far here.
Long in the tooth. Perfect. Well, I'll give you guys kind of the typical send off. As a reminder, please make sure if you haven't submitted your bracket for March Madness,
yes,
please make sure that you do so. We are halfway through the month at this point, so if you haven't done it yet, make sure that you do tag us, The hashtag was
Hilt Radio or March. I don't know. Hilt Radio March Madness 2019 is on the top of that bracket right in front of your face.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it's Hilt Radio March Madness 2019.
Yeah, Hilt Radio March Madness 2019.
Awesome.
So hashtag.
And you can go if you don't have it, if you don't want to print it up because you don't have to go to the website and do it. It's a lot of work. I know. You can go to our Instagram and go into the highlights. There's a March Madness little button there. Click it and screenshot the bracket for you. Fill it out on your phone with one of your font apps or I don't know. I feel like iPhones. I think all phones do that now. I feel like every phone does like a text over pictures now.
Right.
So go fill it in. You get entered into our giveaway and it's going to be big.
That's going to be big. Perfect. So that's all we've got, guys. As always, where can they find you, Bima?
I'm at Citizen of Disney.
You can also find me at Liam Bright. Follow the show at Hilt Radio, H-Y-L-T Radio on Twitter and Instagram. And then, as always, you can visit the website for blogs. Eventually, we'll get some videos up there. I know we say this like every week, but we are working on the videos. It will come with time. It's just a learning curve on our end.
Learning curve, toddler, work. Life.
St. Patrick's Day. and then if you guys haven't commented and want to give us your comments on any of the topics that we discussed today, you know, feel free to tweet at us or comment on one of our Instagram posts, especially for the episode post that Brittany so graciously puts up, you know, every time we release an episode. So thanks for doing that, Bima.
Oh, you're welcome. It's no problem.
I know. So nice. Perfect. So we will catch you guys on the next episode. But as always, until then, try to make the world a better place.
Need even more Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars in your life? Be sure to visit our website at HiltRadio.com for more magic like our blogs, videos, merch, and access to our archive of episodes. That's HYLTRadio.com. See you real soon.